A lot of times we think, boy, I wished I could have been there to see this. When you read these accounts, I mean, I know I stopped at verse 40. Verse 41 puts a whole different flavor to it. I heard my pastor, which would be years ago, which was Pastor Paul Downey, he preached on verse 41, an incredible message. And I, as a, being a Christian for all those years, I never realized that verse 41 says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." So in the midst of that triumphal entry, you have the crowd. As we read here, they were, first of all, they were seeing all these wonderful things that Jesus did, so they just joined right in. They were praising God, and then Jesus is crying, and it's just like, it's really kind of hard to disseminate, so it's hard to take all that in, but there are some wonderful lessons there. But getting back to my opening statements, we might say, boy, it'd be wonderful to be there. But you know, I think as we look at the Word of God today, and as we look at some points that I put together, as I sat down and from afresh and anew just worked my way through this passage, is I think that we can see in our world today everything that was present at that moment. And I think we can see it, and I think it's powerful. And I think that there's some wonderful lessons. I think there's some wonderful principles to guide our thoughts. And also for us to go ahead as we live our lives, how might I live my life to the glory of God? Because that's what it comes down to. I'm supposed to live my life to the glory of God. And sometimes I get frustrated with that thought because you think, okay, how am I going to do it in this situation? And even in our celebration of these wonderful things that are exclusively Christian, we share with nobody else, how can I celebrate these things and do it to the glory of God also? I was thinking, we call this the triumphal entry. That's nothing new. Over the past 16 years, I brought many messages on the subject, and I have to admit that each time that I read these passages, my heart is stirred. As I sat in my office this week and read through these passages, these are powerful passages. You read the different gospel accounts that we have there. There really is a lot to consider. And so what we have is we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, He's the one that we're serving. We love Christ, and we realize that we have been brought into that union with Christ when we trusted Him as our Savior. We were given the Holy Spirit, and John wrote so eloquently when he says, we love Him because He first loved us. And so we come today loving Christ. We come today seeing Him on this colt and all that went with it, all the pomp. And you say, well, what pomp is there? What royalty would be there? Well, the fact that they laid the clothes on the donkey. I'm sure, now watch this, I'm sure they questioned why he used a donkey or the colt of a donkey rather than a beautiful horse. But the disciples many times were just so interested in how it touched their life, they probably didn't even think to ask him. The fact that they laid the clothes down on the way, and as the scripture says, in other places where they took the palm branches. That's why we call this Palm Sunday, you know. Obviously, he couldn't have had the triumphal entry in Pennsylvania because there would have been all these sticks. And if you had cleaned up your yard yesterday, you found that out, that we would have tripped and fell. And everything was just in the disciples' mind. Everything was perfect. This was their king. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the disciples. And you have the disciples, they're just so excited. As a matter of fact, as you read the different gospel accounts, and I've said this last year, you have the disciples, they're not only in front of him, they're not only in back of him, they're in front of him, and they are singing the praises of God. They are quoting scripture. And then you have the crowd. The crowd's there. And what about the crowd? And so what's the crowd doing? The crowd is getting all caught up. And so you say, really, you know, I wish I could be there. We have the same elements today. we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim Christ all the time, do we not? Let me ask you something today. Do you love Jesus? That's what it comes down to. First and foremost, do you love Jesus? Because if you don't love Jesus, it really doesn't mean much other than just, well, I got to go to church and I got to make sure the pastor at least sees me and, you know, and I want to, my friends are here and all that stuff. But do you love Christ? See, that's what it's all about, first of all. Amen? And I mean, everything else is gravy. Don't get me wrong. I like that. Do you like gravy? I like gravy. My wife made some waffles, chicken and waffles this week, okay? And she put that chicken gravy on those waffles. Now, it's so funny because Lou Mancari was just here the other week, right? And he stayed at our house and he said this. He said, I like waffles and I like chicken, but who's ever heard of this chicken and waffles? Well, he was raised in Delaware, you know. I don't even know if we ought to let Delaware in the continental United States, right? Right? If you're from Delaware, you're probably glad you're from there, but you moved to the promised land. You know, food tastes good, that Pennsylvania Dutch flavor. Amen? I like the gravy, and everything else is gravy. We got the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't discount the disciples and their love for Christ, but it's all about Christ, first of all. Amen? And then we got the disciples and the crowd. The crowd just joins right in, and the crowd gets caught up into their expectations. So we'll look at the crowd for a minute this morning before we get to our handout sheet, right? The crowd's comprised of the religious elites. And you say, well, why would you talk about that? Because what I want us to see, first of all, is our world hasn't changed. The same crowd that was present at the triumphant entry of Christ is the same crowd that is present in our world today. Amen? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I see all you got to do is listen to the radio, watch TV, read the newspaper, and you can see the religious elites, that they're alive and well. And when I say that, I'm not using a good term there. I want you to realize that. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Those were the religious elites of that day. As a matter of fact, in our passage that we read today, they were so bold that they had no problem to see this procession, to see Jesus in an honored state, and for them to say, holler out from side roads, tell your disciples to be quiet. Now, if we were a part of that, let me ask you something. Is that negative or positive? What's the flavor that you get in that? Is that negative or positive? That's negative. Oh, yeah. Because the Pharisees, they're not happy. But they're the elites of their day. And sometimes we think of the elites in our system today, they're not necessarily recognized as religious people. They're elites that, you know, they're billionaires over and over and over. But so that's a little bit different, but I digress. The common ordinary folk. I like common ordinary folk because that's who I consider myself to be, just common. I'm Dave Dressler, born and raised in Freeburg, son of a truck driver. My mom made clothes, cleaned her house, grew up in obscurity, living in obscurity, going to die in obscurity. And God just so happened to save me and allow me to the honor and privilege to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that he called me unto himself. But we're just common, ordinary folk, aren't you, today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can remember going to Bible college, and they tried to play to the common ordinary folk that were in class like me, and they said, you know what a big shot is? A big shot is a little shot that just kept on shooting. And you know what? I never believed that. You know why? Because I don't want to be a big shot. You know what I want to be? I want to be Dave Dressler. I want to be this guy, and you know, think how humbling it is to go back to your hometown where you grew up. And all these people that are still alive, I say that because a lot of them have passed away, that I go down to the carnival and I help in the French fry stand, and people say, oh, you're Davy Dressler. Yeah, and they're usually thinking about maybe that cat that I threw on their porch roof, or they're thinking about the fact that I threw a snowball and hit their car and they stopped, or and they're thinking all those things. I know. I remember as a paper boy, and I remember I had a good record as a paper boy, and I had a customer one time call the daily item and complain. And they told me, and of course they had to follow up. What had happened is this one customer was just a hard customer. And if anything was going to happen, it always happened at their house. And so I threw the newspaper up on the porch, threw it a little too hard, hit their storm door, and smashed their glass in their storm door. And so you know what they did? They opened the door, and it all fell in on their carpet. And so I don't know how many times you could say you're sorry, but that happened. And Murphy followed me around. Murphy's Law. You ever hear of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law, if it will happen, if it does happen, it will happen, and it will happen to you. It happens to me, follows me around all the time. But just common, ordinary people. I'm looking at common, ordinary people. And I find that I'm very at home with common, ordinary people. You know, there was common, ordinary people in Jesus' day. And those were the ones that lined the streets. You know why? Because they were full of life with their ups and downs. Don't you have ups in your lives? Don't you have great times? Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Donnie came down, picked some things up at the house yesterday. I got rid of some woodworking equipment I wasn't using. And he had a chicken and waffles. And he said, I can hardly wait to get home and tell my wife because she's going to be so jealous. And so he's in trouble now, but that's okay. But we're just common and ordinary people just sitting around the house. Enjoying a meal together. That's a high point in our life where we get a meal that we really like. Right, fellas? Come on now, fellas. Amen. I'm helping you out here. If you stumble and fall, it's your fault. Oh, yeah. Don't we have times in our life where things are down a little bit? How about a Carmen when we prayed on Thursday and we were weeping because we didn't know if Fred had a stroke or not? And we saw Bob Miller and Bonnie walked in the door, and I said, I'm going to go up and get to the bottom of this. Bob went with me, and we literally walked in ICU as the doctor was walking out of his room, taking the gloves off. Couldn't have been any more perfect timing. As a matter of fact, they took us up the secret elevator. They had to get a key to get in the elevator. And she said, I take you up right away. If we would have had to go around there, we would have missed that doctor. And the doctor shared with us information. I said, his wife's name's Carmen. She sent us. I'm their pastor. I said, I can call her on the phone, give her permission to talk to you. And she goes, no, I believe you. And she, but do you know what? That's a low time in Fred and Carmen's life right now. Right? Amen? We're common, ordinary people. We're just like that crowd that if Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the dead, was walking down our street today, we would line the street today. Oh, yeah, we're just common, ordinary people. And then, of course, you had the higher-ups of society. They were there, too. It's a complete picture. You had the Zacchaeuses of the day that were wealthy. Now, Zacchaeus had already come to know Christ, but they had a wealthy element in their society also. We read about that in Scripture. And it's interesting, and this is where I'm setting the table today for us to see some things. It's interesting to consider the response of everybody involved, because when it comes down to it, as we celebrate this wonderful day, there's a response today here too. What's the response in our lives? And I let the cat out of the bag before I even got there, because I don't want to surprise you with it. I want you to be thinking of it all the way through as we consider this. What is our response? You say, well, what do you mean? I believe in the triumphal entry. I'm not even talking about that. What is your and my response today to what God is doing? Because this is what God was doing. If we wanted to put it in words of today, this is a God thing. This triumphal entry is all of God. Watch this. Regardless, if nobody would have lined that street, if nobody would have laid the clothes down, if the Pharisees wouldn't have been there to say that, the triumphal entry would have still taken place, because Jesus is and was and is the Passover lamb showed to us in the Old Testament. If nobody would have showed up. As a matter of fact, everybody showed up, and we're going to learn some things. First of all, the commoner said this. Who is this? You say, really? Oh, no, they were just along the side of the streets. Oh, yeah, they were along the side of the streets, and they were singing, and they were first of all, they were listening to the disciples. I got my notes here. I have to find out where I am. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. I want you to see something here, because of all the years that I've read these accounts, I have to admit, I miss this. You say, you miss it? Oh, yeah, I miss a lot of things. I didn't mind it when I was in school and missed the bus. Didn't mind that, because you had a day off, right? Okay, it's a little hard to convince my mom how I missed the bus. But there's a lot of things that I really don't want to miss anymore today. And now I want you to see this. Go to John chapter 12. I want you to get down to verse 17. Okay? Now if your Bible's like mine, at verse 12 it says the triumphal entry. And we go down to verse 17. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. So the people that were standing in the crowd, part of the aspect was, is they said, hey, here's the guy. Word spread around from these other people. Hey, I was there, and he is now coming to Jerusalem. They said, whoa, hey, I want to go out and see him. So they weren't participating in the fact that they were welcoming as king. He was a sideshow. He was a celebrity. You say, oh, I can't believe you said that about Jesus. That's what the crowd says. This is the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. That's what it says. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. So the commoner asked, and this is where we go to Matthew 21:10, and it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, I love, they were moved, and they said, who is this? That's not the reaction that we wanted. Right? The reaction would be, this is Jesus. This is my Passover lamb. And instead, after they enter the town, after he weeps, and he comes into town, word around town is this, I don't know who this is. That's interesting, right? That's the commoner. Now let's go to the next one, the Pharisees. If you kept your passage there in John, you'll see this. The Pharisees, I find it so interesting, the Pharisees, they were saying this. Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him. So the commoner says this. The commoner says, I don't know who this is. The Pharisees are saying, oh man. Now, who were the Pharisees again? They're the elites. They're the religious elites. They had the adoration of everybody and they enjoyed it. It's like this. Did you realize that there are pastors today that would love to have Pharisee status? They walk in as, oh, the pastor's here. I don't know how you're supposed to walk to be the pastor. You know, they didn't teach me that in school. Right? And so what happens is, but the Pharisees, they got really worked up because everybody was looking to him. They were no longer looking to them. And they say this, behold, the world is gone after him. And that was a threat. And of course, we know it was a threat. And you say, well, why? Well, because we know the rest of the story, don't we? They finally said, enough. Enough. And they had the break. They had the break in the chain. And, you know, Judas gave them the opportunity to say, look, you know what? I'm not going to get out of this what I thought I was going to. But you know what? I can tell you where he's going to be. I can tell you where he's going to be alone. And you can come get him, right? Isn't that what he did? And so the Pharisees just said, oh, hey, you know, let's take this money, the price of a slave, And Judas, I bet you Judas thought, man, I'd be able to get more money than that. What are you talking about? And so, but their whole idea was this, the whole world's going after him. You know what? We ought to talk about Jesus. We ought to center our ministry on Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's what we do. I call it having a God-centered ministry. There's a lot of things that take place in Christendom today, and I use that very loosely, where it becomes man-centered. We build it on personalities. And don't get me wrong, I think, watch this, God raised up Moses to deliver the nation of Israel, right? Didn't God do that? Oh, yeah. It was Moses who went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, right? Oh, yeah. But it was also Moses that God used to show the nation of Israel that he is God. And so what we have to be careful of is that maybe our world is full of Pharisees around us that don't like the fact that God gets the attention. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the problems that was involved in the church at Corinth, where Paul says that they were all worried. People were worried about, I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of Apollos. And, oh, I'll tell you what, Paul baptized me. Yeah, but Jesus baptized me. And he said, wait a minute. And you know how that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, you know what? One of us sows the seed. The other one of us waters the seed. And he who sows the seed is nothing. He who waters the seed is nothing. And then he gives us the statement that the Pharisees should have took, but it's God that gives the increase. You know, I have to admit, I am glad that I am the pastor at First Baptist Church of Sunbury. I am. I'm glad. I'm happy. Happy to be home. I'm happy to be your pastor. And, you know, the more you get to know me, here's what you're going to know. That guy's a rascal, and he's a sinner just like me. That's what you're going to know, that I don't walk on water unless it's froze. I'm going to disappoint you, and I'm going to do all of these things, right? But watch this, is that I'm glad that together we get to glorify God, and that together we get to lift up Christ. Amen? That's what it comes down to, because according to my Bible, it's God that we're here to glorify. It is God that gives the increase. It is God that is working in our lives to mold us to the image of Christ. Amen? And guess what? As important as we think we are many times, and I don't mean that to insult you, I don't mean that to hurt you, but you know what? This church has been around a whole lot longer than I've been around. Amen? And it was Jesus who said this as we looked at the vine last week. For without me, you can do nothing. And so that's the Pharisees. And there is so much Pharisaical thought today in Christianity. Mega churches. And you say, well, you just do that because you're not big. I'll tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thankful for what God's doing in our midst. Are you not? People say, well, the building's not packed, the side doors aren't open. Who cares? You say, well, you shouldn't say that. You know what? Because this is not a marketing strategy. This is about preaching Christ. This is about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. This is about our lives being used in this community. Amen? And you know what? God gives the increase, he gives the increase. Other than that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sow those seeds. We're going to water those seeds. It's always interesting to see what God is doing. We certainly can't build it on the personalities of people. Oh, my. And then, I digress again. So, and then the disciples. And this is what I like about it, is the disciples. And so I would put you and me in this class. I know we're commoners. But I would say that we're disciples today, okay? And you know what I like about this? They didn't really understand what was happening. He said, really? Oh, yeah. Now, I hate to tell you, I just now got through page one. But we're almost done. We are almost done, so. Because I find as we look, and maybe I'm too fixated on the crowd. But I can remember as a young Christian thinking, oh, I just wish that I would have lived in the day of Christ to see all this. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And you say, well, why? Well, I think the disciples here explain it. If you go, and the passage here is in John, it says this, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, that means this, when Jesus was glorified, you know what that means? That means that when he was raised from the dead, that's what that means, okay? When he was raised from the dead, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Oh, so that means in the account in John of the triumphal entry, John tells us that the disciples, in everything they did, they didn't understand. Well, what did they do? Well, they praised God. They were just so excited that finally what they wanted to take place was taking place. And they were wrong. Dreadfully wrong. As a matter of fact, embarrassingly wrong. You say, well, why? Well, they didn't go back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But they did come to an understanding, and it changed their lives. And so, what happened? There really was no firm consensus on what was happening or who he really was. The crowd didn't know. The religious crowd felt threatened. The disciples misunderstood. But as we consider the one on the donkey, that's what it comes down to, is that's all that matters. Well, all that matters today is who's on that donkey, who was on that donkey. And that's what it comes down to, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sacrificial lamb. And I find this incredible, because what happens is this, and I went to a passage in Revelation, because it says this, the last part of it says, well, I'll read the whole verse. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, notice this. The book of life is named the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, as you and I study the Bible, we have come to the settled conviction that salvation was not an afterthought of God. And that God put in place to reveal to us what his plan has always been. And he even names the fact that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever made, before the fall of man ever took place, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. And what it comes down to is this, is now, you say, okay, where's all these wonderful lessons? Well, see, that's all I have for you, but I want you to follow along. I don't want you to check out yet, okay? I know your sheet is all filled out, right? And you're going to say, okay, he's done. Well, the crowd is much like today, very little difference. When it comes to our world today, the same question is still being asked. Who is this Jesus? You might say, well, we're civilized now. We ain't any more civilized than they were, folks. And the same question is being asked of our whole world today. As a matter of fact, we think they're not asking the question, but they are asking the question. Islam is asking the question, who is Jesus? Amen? Watch this, as a matter of fact, I find it very interesting. This time of year has to be very distressing to them because they do not believe that Jesus suffered and died as atonement for sin. They do not believe that. They despise the cross. And here we come to our time of year where we celebrate the atoning work, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That one who, as we will get together on Good Friday, and we will remember that the earth, that the sky grew dark, the earthquake, as he hung on the cross, and as the veil was torn from the top down. Amen? Wow. So, common people, we see them everywhere. I look out my office window and see people walking up and down the street, cars moving back and forth, people going places, working, playing, etc. Yet if you talk to them about Jesus, you know what it comes down to? They just don't really know who he is. I remember growing up in Freeburg and not knowing who Jesus was. I had occasionally attended Sunday school as a young child and participated as a young teenager in a church youth group, but didn't know who Jesus was. Our religious community, it's littered with a gamut of ideas and teachings about Jesus. Sadly, many of them view their own interests above Jesus. We have that in our community all around us. Followers of Jesus, many are walking with Jesus, not understanding who or what they are following. That is happening today. Maybe you're here today. I have no idea. And yet we think we got it figured out. The disciples that followed him on the road, the Bible says explicitly, they didn't understand. And yet when they did understand, it transformed their life. That's why I started off today saying, who's Jesus? Because that's what it comes down to. Who's Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus today, who is he to you? Oh, my. And yet, with all this, as discouraging as it may sound, God's plan is moving forward. I love that. I love that thought. I love, in the triumphal entry of Christ, that God's plan, first and foremost, move forward, because you know what? It's God's plan. It's not Dave's plan. It's God's plan. It's not your plan. It's God's plan. It's not First Baptist plan. You know what it is? It's God's plan. Amen? Can I get an amen this morning? You might think this world's going to hell in a handbasket, but you know what? It's God's plan, and God's plan's moving forward. Come on. I can get excited about that, can't you? You said, well, it's 11:30. How can you get excited about anything? I'll tell you what. I'm that excited. My knees are shaking. But that's what it comes down to. And what I want us to see today in the triumphal entry of Christ is that we, you know, you look at it and say, oh, it must be so discouraging. You know what? Our world is discouraging just looking at it. So quit looking at the world. Let's look to Jesus. Amen? The Bible says, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Amen? This same Jesus that he said in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus who's taken back into heaven will come so in like manner as you have seen him go. He is coming. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, what we get down to, it's just so hard. It's always been hard, folks. Life's always been hard. There's always been injustices. There's always been disease ever since the fall of man. Come on now, amen? There's always been the elites, the higher-ups. There have always been people who look down on society. But you know what it comes down to? Is our world is absolutely no different than the day that Jesus walked into Jerusalem. And you know what? We're his disciples. And you know what we ought to be about doing? Lord, help me to understand who Jesus is. You say, well, that's a poor prayer. No, you know what I think? I think it is a necessary cry of the heart for every believer that you and I might understand who he is. And we might understand what that means to live this day for him. That's what the triumphal entry reminds me of. I think, you know, we can do all kinds of things. We can take home palm branches and we can lay them in our houses. And some people do that, and I'm not going to criticize that. We didn't do that. I apologize if you thought you should have one. Let me know. I'll pick you one up this week and have it here for you next week. Okay? But you know what? Here's the thing. You know, the Bible calls us pilgrims. It does, right? I put this statement in. Pilgrim, take comfort in the power and plan of God. Come and rest your weary, troubled soul in the arms of God. Because the triumphal entry of Christ proves beyond question the ultimate power of God. This is where I am right now. See that? This is where I am. The question is still in the air. Who is this Jesus? Do you know him today? Can you claim that he's your Lord and Savior, or is he just a figure in history? Let's pray.